Dear Lord, thank you for each one that is here tonight. Thank you for those who are listening online. And Father, I pray for each one that is sick this evening. Pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to each and every one. I pray, Father, that we would be well and able to be here all together this coming Sunday. And Father, I pray that you bless this evening as we look into your word and study it. Pray that you would help us to see something new and fresh this evening. Pray that you would speak to us through your word now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So this evening I'd like to share about the time of year of Christ's birth and the movements of Joseph's family during that time. So to kind of talk about the timeline. So first of all, we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Where did that idea that Jesus might have been born on December 25th come from? Why do we celebrate on that day? Well, before Emperor Constantine Christianized the Roman world, the Romans held a pagan celebration of the winter solstice on December 25th. It was an idolatrous celebration of the so-called birth of the sun god Sol Invictus. This celebration on December 25th concluded their annual winter festival of Saturnalia, which apparently has to do with Saturn. I'm not sure what all it had to do with Saturn. But anyway, the actual winter solstice has since moved from December 25th. Probably everybody knows this. It's not December 25th. It's December 20th or the 21st. But it's since been moved back a few days. But originally, they celebrated the solstice on December 25th. So there was a pagan holiday for the Romans on that day. Then when Constantine supposedly converted to Christianity, which he did not really get saved, but he supposedly converted to Christianity in AD 312, every Roman holiday or celebration therefore needed to have a Christian reason overlaying it in order to continue its celebration. Because the empire was no longer pagan, right? It was Christian, so-called. The first official mention in Roman records of December 25th as a holiday honoring Jesus' birth, what do you know? Emperor Constantine converted in 312. The first official record that we have today is in AD 336. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's after they became Christian. It's in an early Roman calendar from AD 336. But to give whoever thought of it some credit, the assigning of this day to be the celebration of the birth of Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, it actually switches the symbolism quite well from paganism to Christianity. The prophesied Son of Righteousness came in greatest lowliness, and the winter solstice is the sun's weakest day of the year. So it does fit pretty good as far as that goes, but it started out as a pagan holiday that Constantine converted into a Christian one so that they could keep on celebrating it. And I'm not saying tonight that we should not celebrate Christ's birth on December 25th. I'm just giving you the historical background of why in the world do we celebrate it on December 25th. But now, since then, the world has been celebrating his birth on this day for so long that to the world there is no other meaning of December 25th other than Christmas Day. Nobody remembers that it used to be a pagan holiday. So for us as Christians, it's fine to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. We're not celebrating a pagan holiday. We're celebrating Christ's birth. And nobody in the world thinks that somebody might be celebrating paganism on December 25th. But the only timeline as far as when was Christ really born, the only timeline that we have in the Bible is one fact that we know is that Jesus was born 6 months after John the Baptist. That's pretty much the only timeline we have. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist was 6 months older than his cousin, half-cousin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 1 and verse 20, 24. Excuse me. And after those days, his wife, Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the sixth month, not talking about the sixth month of the year, but talking about the sixth month with Elizabeth, the sixth month of her pregnancy. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And from this point, Mary conceives. And so we see from the Bible that Elizabeth was 6 months further along than Mary. We also can see that from what the angel told her, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then go to the end of the chapter and look at verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. So we see that Mary, first of all, very likely stayed with Elizabeth until John was born. Okay? There was no reason for, if Mary was with Elizabeth from the sixth month to from the sixth month and was there for 3 months, it makes no sense that Mary would have left Elizabeth's home before John was born. Even though that it looks like that's the way it's written, I'm pretty sure Mary would have stayed for the birth. Further, Mary had left Nazareth very soon after conceiving the Lord. If you go back to verse 38, at the end of Mary's conversation with the angel, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, which is Elizabeth's house. Okay, so she left her home, Nazareth, very soon after she had conceived the Lord. And Elizabeth's salutation to Mary makes that very clear, that Mary was with child when she greeted Elizabeth. So by the time Mary returned to Nazareth, again, she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. By the time she returned to Nazareth, Mary would have been beginning to show her pregnancy. Her tummy would have been noticeably like that of a pregnant woman. And at that point, there would have been big trouble for Mary. You see, when Mary accepted the angel's message and agreed to the angel's idea, what the angel wanted her to do, what the Lord wanted her to do, to bear the Messiah, she was agreeing to become one of the outcasts of her society. And she knew it. We don't really think of that so much today, because we think all generations from henceforth will call her blessed. What a blessed life Mary lived. Well, within her family, with Joseph and with her children, with the Lord Jesus, yes, it was a blessed life. Within Joseph's home is very blessed. They all knew what the truth was. But as soon as she stepped outdoors into the town, no, she did not live a blessed life. She was not blessed among those women. In her hometown, she was looked down upon because they fully believed she had been promiscuous. They fully believed that she was bearing a child that she became pregnant with before her wedding, which was true, but they did not believe it was from the Holy Ghost. So they believed that she was a promiscuous woman. And so Mary did not live a blessed life during her lifetime. Spiritually, sure. Within her own family, certainly. But in every other physical way around town, everyone else thought she was a harlot. And her sudden trip down to Elizabeth's town, and then staying there for 3 months, and finally coming back only when she was beginning to show, all of that would have played into Nazareth's belief that, yeah, she's a harlot. She was promiscuous. There would have been a big scandal when Mary got back, even up to the point that Mary's life was in grave danger. She could have been stoned if Joseph had brought it to the judges. It was only after Joseph stepped up, after the angel had appeared to him in a dream, only after Joseph stepped up and reaffirmed his betrothal to her, and probably at that point went ahead and married her, did the gossipers decide, oh, it must be Joseph's child. That's what they all ended up thinking when Joseph accepted her as his wife, that it was his child. And that was fine because he was the adopted father of the Lord Jesus. But the scandal, the promiscuous idea on Mary never went away in Nazareth. Everybody always knew that she and Joseph had not been faithful until their wedding, is what they thought. But anyway, going back to the timeline. So if Mary had left and come back, and John the Baptist was born, and she was 3 months pregnant, when was John the Baptist born? Anyway, do we have any idea when that was? We'll go back to Luke 1:5. Luke 1:5. Let me read this whole passage real quick. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God and the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Silly Zacharias, you'll know it when your wife gets pregnant, won't you? Anyway. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So when did Elizabeth become with the child John? When did she start bearing John? Well, we don't know for sure, but there is a couple of clues here. First clue is in verse 5. The Bible says, There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. We're given his course, his father, his genealogy, and the course that he would be fulfilling. And then verse 8 is the other clue. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. So what are we talking about? Go with me to 1 Chronicles 24, please. 1 Chronicles 24. We actually have a good idea of the time of month that Zechariah was in the temple. 1 Chronicles 24. (Clears throat) First Chronicles 24, verse 1. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David, this is David the king now, and David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar. And Shemaiah the son of Nethaneel the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes and Zadok the priest and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, one principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Now the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah. The New Testament equivalent of Abijah. So, this course was the eighth course. Skip down to verse 18. The 23 to Deliah, the 24 to Maaziah. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. So this group of men, these priests, were divided into 24 courses, and the first course began at the first of the year. So the first course would have begun Nisan first, and would have gone for 2 weeks. Because if you divide 12 months into 24, you end up with 2 weeks per course. So the priest in every course had 2 weeks every year that they had to come and serve in the temple. And that was their part of the service of the Lord for that year. And then they would go home, and the next course would come for 2 weeks into the temple and do their service. And so go ahead and put, Brother Jonathan, go ahead and put that picture up. Yeah, there we go. Let's take. And so Abijah, Zechariah, was a descendant of the priest Abiah or Abijah here in 1 Chronicles. And he had a set time that he would be fulfilling his eighth course. So if the first course began in the month Nisan, and by the way, this is well divided for us because it's divided into 24 little sections. So if we start, if this is the first course here, Nisan, and we count one course, two course, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Here's the eighth course. This is when Zechariah, in the second half of the month Tammuz, Zechariah would have been fulfilling his course in the temple of the Lord. So in the first 2 weeks approximately of July, of course, there's a little bit of play in the fact that the Julian calendar does not match up completely with the Jewish calendar, but the play would only be about two to three weeks. So the play is very minimal when you're talking about 9 months, and you don't know how long it was before Elizabeth conceived John anyway. So 2 weeks is nothing. So about in the middle of July, Zechariah would have gone home. Okay, and then the biggest question after Zechariah goes home is, how long did the Lord wait for Elizabeth to conceive John? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the way the Bible words it, it wasn't very long. You know, 4 months probably at the most, 6 months certainly tops. But I would say within three months, Elizabeth would have been bearing John, would have conceived John and been bearing him. Okay? So if She got pregnant within 3 months of July. So that would put us, one, two, in the middle of October at the latest. So we'll say she was pregnant within 2 months. That's a mediocre, a middle-of-the-road idea. So 9 months after the middle of September would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. John was born, possibly, in the middle of June. John was born, possibly, in the middle of June. And what 6 months later after June? December is 6 months later after June. December is not a bad guess for when the Lord was born. It's a pretty middle of the road. November, December, January are pretty accurate guesses for when Mary would have borne the Lord, 6 months after Zachariah, after John was born. So that's very interesting when I saw that, based on Zachariah's course in the temple of the Lord. Go to the next picture, if you would. Now let's look at the travel of Joseph's family during this time, in closing here this evening. So we already talked about Mary going to visit her... I thought Nazareth was on that picture. I must have chose the wrong picture. Anyway, Nazareth is right in here between the Sea of Cana and the Sea of Capernaum. It's right in there. Mary traveled to Elizabeth's hometown right after she became pregnant with the Lord. And Mary's hometown, we aren't told what it is, but an educated guess would be Hebron, the city of the priests, the city that the priests inherited. And we're told it's in the hill country of Judah. Hebron is a priestly city. It's in the hill country of Judah. So that would be the best guess anybody could give as to where she went, Hebron, which was, of course, south of Bethlehem by a good 10 or 15 miles, maybe 20. And it was 100 miles from Nazareth. So she traveled about 100 miles probably during her first trip. And she went further than she did later. She went all the way beyond Bethlehem in this trip, most likely. Then, 4 to 5 months later, the census of Augustus takes effect. By the way, and she traveled back home 3 months later. So when the census of Augustus takes effect, she's back in Nazareth. Joseph has wed her to take the scorn away from her as much as he could. And then Joseph takes, because of that census, Joseph takes his family from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. So Mary has gone from here to there, and now she travels back to Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant. Must have been a miserable trip for Mary. There's no room for them in the inn, of course, the night they arrive. And so Christ, as we know, had to be born in a dirty old stable. Turn me to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke 2, 21. This is right after Christ is born, 8 days later. Luke 2, 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Some preachers will say that they traveled to Jerusalem to have the circumcision, but I don't believe there's any reason to think that they traveled that distance just to get him circumcised, when you could have your child circumcised in any synagogue by any priest. And so I believe they would have stayed in Bethlehem to circumcise Jesus. So, but on the eighth day, they had him circumcised there in Bethlehem, I believe. Somewhere during those 8 days, those first 8 days, or 10 or 12 days there in Bethlehem, Joseph would have found a house for them to rent there. Certainly they wouldn't have kept on staying in a stable, and they certainly wouldn't have afforded staying in an inn forever. So we know the Bible tells us that he was found in a house. So somewhere during these first few days, Joseph would have found a house to rent there in Bethlehem. And then look at verse 22 of the same chapter. And this is after Jesus was circumcised. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, so 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised in Bethlehem. But then, when the days of Mary's purification, which according to the Old Testament, if you wanted to look it up, it was 40 days after his birth, 40 days after his birth, her purification days came to a close, and they were required to go to Jerusalem then. And so they traveled to Jerusalem, where they offered a purification offering for her and presented him to the Lord. And so that was when they traveled to Jerusalem, not for his circumcision, but for the end of the purification time. And then they went back after that offering. They went back to Bethlehem, and they stayed there for several months. And there's a couple of reasons, two or three reasons why Joseph would have stayed there. First of all, he would have stayed there to be sure Mary was recovered fully and well enough to begin the journey back to Nazareth. He wouldn't have begun too soon. Especially back in those days when there was no medical facilities to help somebody out on the road. But also, so it was partly for Mary to recover, but also to give the baby time to grow before subjecting the Lord, the baby Jesus, to the rigors of travel. These are the days when babies are very susceptible to die within the first year of life. And so they would not have been anxious to head out back to Nazareth right away. And so they would have decided that the wisest plan is to stay here for several months, allow Mary to recover all the way, allow the baby to get some months of life behind him and to get strong. And another reason could have been simply because Joseph was broke by the time they had reached Bethlehem. He was a poor man. He probably didn't have a lot of savings, and traveling was expensive. You know, you're not working or making money when you're traveling. And so it simply could have been that he couldn't afford to travel back to Nazareth at that point. And so he was staying there and trying to work in the fields and earn some money any way he could in order to get back to Nazareth. So those are the three reasons why they would have still been in Bethlehem. And all those reasons would have given the wise men the time they needed to arrive there at Bethlehem. Now go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We know that it took the wise men several months to get to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem from where they were. And Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem when they finally got there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And look, skip down to verse 11. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice it's the time frame has changed. He's not in the stable. They saw the young child. He's not a babe in a manger. He's a young child. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So that the necessary stay in Bethlehem gave the wise men the time they needed to find the new king of the Jews. And then when they arrived, of course, they presented Jesus with these expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, all very valuable items. Which, right after that, where does the Lord send them? Not back to Nazareth, but down south. And so, right before the trip to Egypt, the Lord provides this little family with a whole bunch of wealth that they needed for this trip to Egypt. And the Lord provided for their entire time in Egypt, I believe, with these gifts that they were just given by these wise men. And they stayed down there in Egypt. We don't know for sure how long, but we understand that Herod the Great died in 4 BC. And the Bible tells us that, we'll just read it in verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. So the secular history tells us that Herod the Great died in 4 BC. We believe that maybe the Lord was born the same year. Of course, with some months between, obviously. But we don't know how long he was in Egypt, but however long it was, God provided for their needs right before he sent them down there by those wise men's gifts. And then when they did return, let's see, where was it? I didn't look. Verse 19. When they did return, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. So when they did come back, they most likely came back by the way of the Philistines along the sea coast. And when they got into the land of Israel, he was afraid to come back into Judea over by Jerusalem because of Archelaus. And so he would have continued on the side route back up to Nazareth. And so he bypassed most of Judea that way. But that's the time frame that I understand, and where they went, and about when they went, as much as I can put it together. Anyway, I hope that kind of helps somebody, and it's neat. It's a neat thing that we kind of have a good idea, a general idea of when John the Baptist was born, and I didn't realize that December until I studied this out. That December is not a bad guess, after all, based on when John likely was born. Anyway, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and thank you for the information you've given to us in your word. We understand that it's not doesn't answer every question we might have, but it gives us enough information, Lord, enough to build our faith on. We thank you for that. Bless now this prayer time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.